And good afternoon and welcome to Lambda Weekly. I'm Dave Taffet here in the studio with the late Patty Fink, who is actually 10 minutes early today. Congratulations.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, thank you. Laurent will be back with us next week. He's out for the holiday because he has lots of guests at home. We have a wonderful guest with us today. Her name is Representative Celia Israel. This was her first session in the Texas legislature, and she stood toe-to-toe with a whole bunch of good old party boys from around the state. And
yep,
every time, put your money on the lesbian.
That's right.
That's what I say.
That is absolutely right.
Because she won. You know how much they got? Nothing. Celia, thank you for being with us.
No, thanks for having me.
Oh, we're delighted to have you. Patty wanted to start with bill number
2065.
Do you love this? Nobody knows what we're talking about. Tell us what that was and what happened.
Well, it was last Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
It was a Thursday that I didn't know it at the time when I woke up that morning, but I think it'll go down as a historic day in
yes.
Texas legislature for LGBT issues and rights. But that was the day that we took up the so-called pastor protection bill. And as you guys know, it's a contentious issue, but I just thought it was time to take the wind out of their sails and not let them have their own personal connection to Jesus and to Christianity. And I went up there and talked a little bit about my background as a Roman Catholic, and I'm ad-libbing here, but I said, my partner and I have been together for almost 20 years, and someday in the gray state of Texas, we're going to be able to get married. Mm-hmm. And for all of you pastors out there who for whom this bill was designed to protect, we will rest assured that we will not be going to your church to get married.
Mm-hmm.
And
why would somebody? And this is where this drives me nuts. Why would you go to a pastor who hates you and ask him to marry you? I mean,
I know
it just makes me nuts sometimes thinking that even.
Well, apparently it was worth stating the obvious at the front microphone there below mm-hmm. the Speaker of the House to simply say that say, we support the United States Constitution. We support freedom of religion. And we are people of faith. We are not going to go where we're not welcome and supported and loved. And with that, I closed and said, this Roman Catholic urges you to vote yes on the pastor protection bill.
Mm-hmm.
And it took them by surprise. They were ready for a boxing match, and we just weren't going to have any of it.
Mm-hmm.
I have to say, it was absolutely brilliant, Celia. It was amazing. I was watching it live on my computer.
Thanks.
And I was like, what the hell? And then I understood it immediately when you began talking, mm-hmm. and I was getting it immediately. I'm like, oh, my God, she has totally turned the tables on this whole room,
mm-hmm.
the entire yeah. chamber. They're probably, dumbfounded there. Like, what is she doing?
I have to tell you, when I knew one or two days ahead of time what's coming up on the calendar, and it had sort of been in the back of my mind, like, oh, God, we're going to have to fight over this stuff, and just dreading it, because it lays waste to the various relationships that you build
mm-hmm.
on the floor on other big issues like
education
and transportation
and the budget.
So yeah, exactly, the big bad budget. So I wasn't looking forward to it, but that the day before my staff was talking with Equality Texas and the Freedom Network, and there was some back and forth about, do we vote yes? Do we vote no? Do we vote present, not voting? And there was Equality Texas kind of came up that morning and suggested you should either white light it or just vote yes. And when I left my office to go to the floor, I was like, I just can't do it. I can't vote yes. But our good friend Glenn Maxey caught me as I was going onto the floor and said, what if that whole board was just green?
Mm-hmm.
And what are they going to get angry about tomorrow morning?
Mm-hmm.
And I let that sink in, and I talked to a few of my colleagues on the floor, and they were shocked that I was even suggesting it.
Mm-hmm.
But as it started simmering, they kind of got it, and they said, if you're going there, we'll go there with you. And it was kind of a roll of the dice, and as you guys may know, when you're a freshman, you have to figure out the time and the place and your volume. You know, mm-hmm. when do I speak up and when is it appropriate? And this apparently turned out to be a very appropriate time for me to give a little speech.
Mm-hmm. You know, and this amendment, it doesn't do anything. Basically, all it does is it allows pastors to not perform same-sex weddings if they don't want to. I know Texans don't believe this, but that's covered in the Constitution, and Texans actually are covered by the Constitution. A lot of Texans don't believe that. But
that's because the Second Amendment to them is in neon, in bold italics and underlined, and they can't see the First Amendment from mm-hmm. the glow of the Second, I think.
You know, but we're friendly with former State Representative Harriet Earhart. In fact, she's going to be on our show next week. And one of the things that Harriet always said was, you know, sometimes when you – some of the best debates she said she sat in on, people really sat and listened to each other. And she said what happens then is that you end up coming up with better legislation because it actually helps more people. And if they feel a little bit more secure and safe and as if they've done something and they can go back to their constituents and said, I've protected you. Mm-hmm. And it does nothing to hurt us, not one single thing, because they're covered already.
Mm-hmm.
Who cares? You know, give it to them.
Yeah. Yeah, we gave them their bill that they wanted. Mm-hmm. It may not have been exactly how they planned it was going to be. I think if you saw the video, there was some of my Republican colleagues behind me who had this big smile on their face when I said I was speaking for the bill, and the smile slowly dimmed when they realized the message that I was delivering about why I was voting for the bill. So, you know,
it was transformative, wasn't it?
Apparently, I mean, I was a little nervous. You know, how is this going to sound? You know, I think as most of us who are LGBT, that's not our first identifier. You know, we're a lawyer, we're a mm-hmm. a chef, we're a whatever. And on the floor of the House, I'm an advocate for multimodal transportation, and mm-hmm. you know, that's the things that really get me going, and it's a big issue in my district. So when you have to take off the hat and be the lesbian, you know, it's okay, bring it on, here I am.
Mm-hmm.
And so in that sense, it was a little bit off message from what I've been doing in the legislature, but you know, I'm not going to shy away from it, and it turned out to be a very appropriate time to speak up for our community.
But you know, it'll have other effects too, I think. Other members of the legislature are going to remember you. There are 150 members of the House. You know, some are the ones who just go along and they introduce some bills and they get some stuff done, but basically, they just go along, and then there are some who are out there and, you know, both fists swinging, and I think you're going to be one of those, especially this is your first full session.
Mm-hmm.
For listeners who don't know, Celia represents a district in Austin. She replaced somebody midterm, the mm-hmm. term before. But Celia, I think people are just going to know you now as the person who stood up to the Tea Party and won.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for characterizing it that way, because we really didn't know how it would play out.
Yeah.
It was brilliant.
You know,
it was brilliant, really.
Thank you. It worked out. I don't claim to be brilliant. I just follow my heart, and it came into place. I have a lot of my colleagues now who want to be invited to my wedding, and which I hadn't really planned before, but I had a lot of my Democratic colleagues were cheering me on and mm-hmm. supportive, and several of my Republican colleagues came up to me afterwards and said, you did a great job.
Yeah.
I mean, they were sincere and from the heart.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them said, you know, I don't agree with you, but I like the way you said what you said.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they appreciate that. All you can do is be who you are. Our BS radar as politicians is pretty good,
mm-hmm.
you know, and so I think they appreciated that, and they saw me in a different light than they had, and that's only good.
Sure, it's only good.
Don't you know in their caucuses in the future they're going to be going, got to watch that Israel, man.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know what she's going to pull. Mm-hmm. Be careful. Maybe you shouldn't introduce that because you know what she'll do. She'll just turn it around, you know.
Like, and she'll, yeah. She's going to vote for this. It. Yeah, she's going to vote with you.
Yes, what would Israel do?
Yeah, exactly. And that was what's so great, too, when they started, there were several members who were Democrats who were establishing intent. The intent of the bill and to get on the record for that, and then you came along and just, you know, kind of blew up the room, and then Rafael and Chia came on and Mary Gonzalez, and it was just an amazing moment. And I recommend listeners look it up. We'll get a post up about where you can see the video on our Facebook page and website, and you guys can go by and see this because it was really an amazing moment in LGBT history in Texas.
Now, one of the things that didn't happen on, was this Thursday that it got voted on? Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
Was Cecil Bell's bill didn't get on as an amendment, and there were rumors that it would. Tell us what Cecil Bell's bill would have done, and do you know what happened that it didn't get on the bill?
Well, unfortunately, Mr. Bell is getting quite the reputation as in our community as being simply the anti-gay guy.
Mm-hmm.
When I would think that he would want more for his district, but he's known in our circles as the man who has the really silly bill that would go against the United States Supreme Court if they rule the way we hope that they're going to rule, which is to go with the tide of history and finally say gay marriage is legal across the United States. And his bill would have said that Texas would not have performed, our officials would not have performed those marriages, no funds could have gone towards those marriages. If a JP, for example, married me and my partner after it's legal, that JP was not protected, could have been subject to firing, and wasn't going to get paid for the work that they did. So they weren't. The bill would go against the grain of the United States in a stupid way. I mean, I don't know any other word to say it.
Aren't there some Texas laws that kind of say if you're elected justice of the peace, you get paid for it?
Yeah.
I'm just guessing. I don't know what that law would be, but
yes,
I would think.
It's called public service.
Yeah.
So
is one of the reasons you think that bill got out of committee, even, and that Joe Strauss, the Speaker of the House, allowed it onto the floor, is that of all the 20, I think it was 21 bills that were really bad this session, that was absolutely the stupidest, most unconstitutional one. Mm-hmm. The injunctions were already written against it.
He put it in the bill that no court can review this, basically. I'm like, that's insane. That is insane.
He might as well have put into the bill that only Republicans can vote on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was that stupid.
To make it more of a cartoon.
Yeah.
It would have been devastating. If we had passed the House, the feeling was with enough time, it would have flown out of an even more conservative Senate. Mm-hmm. And but there's something to be said for the placement of the bill. It was a little bit late in the session, and I may be off on my days, but two Thursdays ago was the last day. We have gates and markers and deadlines in the House of Representatives, and two Thursdays ago was the last day that your House bill could be heard and still be alive and then go on to the Senate. And that Thursday at midnight was the deadline. Mr. Bell's bill was on the Tuesday calendar, and we knew on Friday, Mother's Day weekend, that it was going to be very difficult for us to talk our way through it, and the term is called chubbing, to suddenly get really curious about the legislation and ask a lot of questions. And we ended up not meeting on that Saturday of Mother's Day weekend, so that was helpful. Republicans saw fit to argue over hotel and motel taxes for a good hour, and you know, come Monday morning, you're thinking, maybe we can do it. And then Tuesday, when you would have been hearing the bill, we were still hearing Friday's calendar. So all of this, I think, is indicative of let's put the cartoonish bill on the calendar, and maybe we won't even get to it. But if we do get to it, if we had gotten to it at, say, like 11 o'clock at night on Thursday, which was still a possibility, you know, Thursday morning, if you're talking about a bill at 11:59 and the clock strikes midnight and it's 12:01 and you're still talking about that bill doesn't get to get voted on.
Unless you're Wendy Davis, and then they turn the clock.
Yes, there's another example. So we don't have a filibuster in the House. All we have is the ability to do what politicians do well, which is talk a lot. And we talked a lot that week.
Well, I have to say, it was amazing because my partner Erin Moore, she was laughing when I think it was Representative Alvarado was up speaking, and Representative Donna Howard was asking questions. And Erin characterized it as, "Are you aware that your shirt is multicolored and three-quarter sleeve?" Because it was just amazing. But I did see one tweet where he says, "We're not chubbing, we're just dysfunctional."
Exactly.
Celia, we need to take a quick break. Stick with us.
Okay.
You're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM. I'm Dave Taffet here in the studio with the late Patty Fink. We'll be back with more with Representative Celia Israel from Austin right after this.
This is William. I download Lambda Weekly podcast from LambdaWeekly.com.
And this is Lambda Weekly. I'm Dave Taffet here in the studio with the late Patty Fink, and we're talking to Representative Celia Israel. One thing I have to say about Celia's office, you know, I write for Dallas Voice, and when we're covering the legislature, very often we need to get in touch with somebody just to get information. Her office is the best office. Celia, you really have the best staff. They would call our office and say, "Hey, here's a heads up, what's coming up." They would send us stuff. They sent us emails and all kinds of other stuff. We have some great representatives right here in Dallas, but your office has just been above and beyond.
Well, thank you. I've heard got lots of good compliments about my staff from all kinds of people from day one. And everyone knows that if you've ever been lobbying or advocating at the Capitol, the staff really determines so much about how you're represented and how you respond to different issues. So thank you for saying that.
Oh, it's above and beyond black and white compared to other offices. And I do want you to know that great staff, and tell them thank you from Dallas Voice staff, because they've been great. What are some of the other bills? You know, we hear now, apparently you believe that the Constitution does apply to Texas. Cecil Bell doesn't. So there are some distinct differences here between representatives.
I miss Warren Chisholm.
You're old school.
Yeah, I am old school.
Yeah, you miss plain old bigotry, right?
Yeah, stupid bigotry.
There were a whole bunch of other bad bills that were introduced this session. A lot of them weren't going to get a hearing, you know, but they were introduced just for the right to, you know, for bragging rights, I guess. What were some of the ones that worried you this session?
Well, you know, Mr. Bell's bill was the big, was the big looming one. The other ones I'm struggling to. I don't know that they got hearings, actually, guys. I mean, those all went to the State Affairs Committee, and the chairman, if you follow the legislature, you know that everything happens by committee. Who the chairman or chairwoman is determines what flows and what doesn't flow. Mm-hmm. And the fact that Mr. Bell's bill flowed, but at that point in the calendar, as we discussed, is indicative. Chairman Cook is a you know, conservative Republican and a lieutenant, so to speak, so-called, of Speaker Strauss, and very, very a big-hearted and generous person, I have to say. And I think he, for example, gave a hearing to Rafael Anchia's bill about a birth certificate being truly reflective of who your parents are, even if your parents are a mom and a mom, or a dad and a dad. Mm-hmm. He didn't have to give that a hearing, and he gave it a hearing quite early in the session. And it caused a stir when the so-called Christians went up there and said this was a bad thing. And, Mr. Cook interrupted them and said, why is it a bad thing if you're, you know, these couples are taking kids who might otherwise, you know, continue to go from foster home to foster home. So why is it a bad thing that their birth certificate just speaks truth to who that kid's parents are? That response from the chairman to the religious right opposition took them completely off their game. And I call it good press. He probably would call it not so good press that he was called out for having a big heart, you know, and simply saying it's about the kids. And I went up to him the next day or so and thanked him for his comments. And he really is a good person. And he said, Celia, it's always been about the kids for me. He wouldn't agree with us on gay marriage, but on those other ancillary issues, he's with us. And when you may have seen something else for your readers to check out would be Rafael Anchia's personal privilege speech on that issue.
Oh, that was great.
That was awesome. Did you guys catch that?
I did. That was fantastic.
That was awesome. And then Mr. Cook at that time went to the back mic. The front mic is where you present stuff or make a personal privilege speech. The back mic is where you ask questions. And Chairman Cook went to the back mic and asked very supportive and friendly questions of Rafael. There was a time when we thought that bill actually might have an opportunity, but, you know, it just didn't. And that's the way the legislature goes. It just doesn't happen sometimes.
Right.
But I guess I'm talking more about the positive stuff, you know, in terms of moving, melting the glacier bit by bit.
Well, you know, and that was part of the national publicity that that surrounded the Texas legislature. Everybody talked about 21 bad bills that were out there, but there were 23 or 4, something like that, good bills out there. You had one to ban reparative therapy, which was just this week signed into law in Oregon. It's already the law in D.C., California, and New Jersey. And here we are introducing it in Texas, too.
Maybe in another session it'll actually get a hearing.
Yeah, you know, but that's how the Texas legislature works at times. Introduced one time, gets a hearing the next time, gets to the floor the third time.
I'm kind of shocked, actually, that the medical marijuana for epileptic patients got some movement. You know, I was really shocked.
I had a ton of emails in my office about the decriminalization and fed medical marijuana supporters. I didn't hear from anybody else. I think law enforcement was officially opposed, but unofficially they were like, you know, do whatever you have to do. Wink, wink, you know.
Right.
Going back to Raphael's bill and other adoption bills, because I think wasn't there one giving an adoption agency the right to discriminate based on religious belief or something, that it had to be a mother and a father or something like that?
Oh, just a horrible bill. It didn't get any traction, of course, but it was proposed to, when it gets down to this, what we've been through the last couple of weeks with our deadlines and stuff, when somebody's bad idea didn't make it out of committee, sometimes that bad idea shows up in the form of an amendment on the floor of the House. So you got to be ready, because somebody might go up to the mic and say, members, here's a simple amendment and it's friendly to the author, and any objection, and bam, you know, then it goes. So you've got to be on your toes. But that was one that that they tried to put onto a sunset bill, and it was a sunset bill for Health and Human Services, and it ended up, we ended up having to pull the entire bill, you know. And if you know with the sunset process, we've now killed two bills because of divisive social issues, sunset bills. And so much work goes into those sunset bills during the interim. You have hearings and, you know, the auditor's office, everybody gets involved to say, you know, it's kind of like a performance review time for these big agencies. What did we do right? What did we do wrong? How can we restructure? And you have all of these conversations, and it comes the day to pass the bill to officially do the restructure, and we lost we lost that bill because someone put on that silly amendment about being able to discriminate and place children based on your religious beliefs.
Mm-hmm. Now, that bill has been around since the 90s. It gets proposed every time.
Mm-hmm.
We usually don't have to do a whole lot of lobbying against it because Child Protective Services comes in and talks to legislatures and says, who the hell do you think is adopting all of our children here?
Yeah,
and taking care of them and giving them homes that nobody else will, especially yeah. our hardest to place children.
Mm-hmm. It's just horrendous.
And the statistic I've heard is at any one time in Texas, there are about 77,000 children who need a home.
Yeah,
that's shocking.
Which is horrible. Yeah. I mean, why would you limit the chance of one of them from getting a home?
Yeah,
when there are that many. So Child Protective Services is the one who jumps in there and just says, no, this isn't
going to
work.
Yeah. I don't think Jesus would like that.
yeah.
Well, and 2106 never gets any movement to repeal 2106.
I know.
You know what's really crazy about that? I do classes at the Dallas Police Academy, and the organization I'm with has been doing it since 1993. And we have to say, pull out your Texas Penal Code book and turn to section 2106, and you see in tiny print with an asterisk that it's unconstitutional. And they say, why don't they just take it out of the book? Mm-hmm. You know, just don't print it. I'm like, that's a great question, you know? And every session for over 10 years now, we've introduced bills in the legislature to take it out. It's a waste of ink and paper.
If only Patty was queen.
If only, yes.
Can you introduce a bill or an amendment to a bill? Making Patty queen?
We can give her... We can do like a really cool honorary document. It holds no weight. You will have no subjects and no budget.
That's okay.
We would like that.
I'll see what we can do.
Okay.
It'll validate your years of advocacy.
Thank you.
That would be awesome. That would be so awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're empress. You have to find a good title.
Well, you know, Glenn Maxey is Tsarina. I can't really take that, can I?
No.
That would be so cool.
You know, earlier we were talking about what a wonderful office you have, and one of the people who very often works out of your office, the few times I was down in Austin this session, he was always there, is Glenn. One of the other people who works mm-hmm. in your office is Suzanne Bryant. Not mm-hmm. Suzanne, Sarah, good friend, mm-hmm. Suzanne's wife. Tell us the story about how they ended up legally getting married in Texas and what happened.
Well, by way of background, the reason Suzanne was in my office in the first place, for those of us of a certain age, we remember that back in the good old days, we had a woman who was the governor named Ann Richards, and she did good things amongst the land. Mm-hmm. And she appointed Sarah Goodfriend to the Public Utility Commission. Mm-hmm. And at the time, it was unheard of. Like, oh my God, she's a lesbian. You know, like, how much...
Having lesbians regulate public utilities.
Sarah is an economist by profession and an economist with energy background, obviously. So... she and I were talking, and I said, you know, you want to just be in the office and you can help my staff out who don't have your experience, and you know, you raise a flag when I need to pay attention to a energy or regulatory environmental issue. And she was all over it, and that's why Sarah was in the office, and you know, on a part-time basis. But you know, she and Suzanne had been looking for quite some time for that window to get married as a Texas couple, and they were ready to pounce, and our friend Glenn Maxey had something to do with it there in the back room as well.
Yeah, Glenn has something to do with anything.
I know, he's a little troublemaker.
Yeah,
and he would wear that as a badge of honor.
Yeah, it was all very hush hush, it was just funny to see. They found their window, you know, and went to the Travis County
Celia, are you there? Ooh.
Well, I think we've lost her.
I think we did. You know what? Let's try to get her back.
Can you hear me?
Oh, now we can get you.
You're back. Yay.
Okay.
Okay, I might have hit a key on my phone. It was funny to see Attorney General Paxton, you know, like hours later, scurry over to the Supreme Court and file a lawsuit and, you know, get all puffed up about it.
His head was spinning like Linda Blair in The Exorcist, mm-hmm. you know. It's like, it's spinning or exploding, one or the other.
yes. Veins popping off top of head.
Exactly.
Green pea soup coming out of his mouth.
I don't know that they're so out of touch, in my view, with mainstream Texas. And the younger people in the state of Texas who have no party affiliation, who may not even be good voters, you know. We mm-hmm. know how hard it is to get people to vote. Mm-hmm. They feel very strongly about LGBT rights. And if you're planning the future of the Republican Party, it looks very bleak, because in the year 2015, they're fighting gay marriage with every ounce of energy that they have. And they're killing their party.
Mm-hmm. And then you add on to that, you have a governor who has endorsed this Jade Helm 15 hysteria, and they become all part of that.
We need to talk about that separately, because I'm sure Celia has some inside information about how Obama is going to be invading Texas. But I want to get back to Sarah and Suzanne. So they filed a lawsuit because Sarah had a form of cancer that she's doing well still.
Yeah, she's doing great.
Right.
Getting good reports, good health reports back. She's beaten it.
Great. But the judge, in the meantime, ruled that because of a health issue, that it was an emergency, and that the Austin County clerk could issue them a marriage license. So mm-hmm. they got married real quickly.
Yeah, that morning.
Their rabbi came down to their version of the county records building, and they issued the license. They went outside, got married, went back inside, filed the document, because it's not official till it's filed, and they were married.
Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. we had a little impromptu get together in downtown Austin that night to celebrate them.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's not easy for them to put themselves out that way, but that's, you know, we owe them a debt of gratitude for shaking people up if they're so stuck in their own version of family and Christianity. To have you know, this professional couple who have such a great reputation in Austin go out on the limb for all of us. We owe them a debt of gratitude, really, for doing that.
Yeah, because Suzanne is an attorney. She handles a lot of adoptions, especially mm-hmm. same-sex adoption. She did one in my office here in Dallas. And she is well-known for bringing families together. Imagine mm-hmm. that a lesbian might be doing that. So they got married, and you know what I like about it? It brought a marriage to Texas that was widely publicized, and you know, the sun rose the next day and the sun set, and you know, all these horrible things that they're talking about are going to happen. You know, and it's funny, because some of the things are, if the Supreme Court rules, then God is going to such and such. So God isn't concerned with 37 marriage equality states, but 50, that could be just a little bit too much. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't get that version of religion either. Mm-hmm. But Sarah and Suzanne's wedding really shows that, yes, we can have a marriage in Texas and nobody got hurt.
And I heard from the mainstream media, they watch when any of us go onto those websites and we click on a story,
mm-hmm.
that story blew up the servers in the Austin American-Statesman.
Yeah.
There's a real and definite mainstream out there who doesn't get why we're fighting this the way in which we're fighting it. Mm-hmm. And you know, we've got to just stay true and keep fighting, because I think we're on the right side of Jesus.
Exactly. Exactly.
We need to take a break. You know, and in that same vein, yesterday Ireland voted overwhelmingly by popular vote.
Like in a 70% turnout. Can you imagine?
A huge turnout.
Wow.
Lots of new voters who registered. They said they never had this many new voters register for a referendum before.
Well, that's cool.
More than 60% voted for it, and including a number of people from the church. You know, Ireland's a very Catholic country, and Catholic priests, despite their church, came out for same-sex marriage, and the church did not strongly oppose it, it seems, because I guess they're trying to sort of not be on the wrong side of history, which is nice to see, and supports the Supreme Court when they come out with theirs, that, yeah, people can vote for this and live. So you're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM. I'm Dave Taffet here in the studio with the late Patty Fink. We're talking to Representative Celia Israel from Austin. We'll be back with more right after this.
Hi, this is Patty Fink, and you're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM.
And this is Lambda Weekly. I'm Dave Taffet here with the late Patty Fink. And our guest is State Representative Celia Israel. Okay, now, Celia, we have something very serious coming up. Obama is invading Texas. We know you have inside information on it. The Texas State Guard has been called out to watch these dangerous military maneuvers. Did they actually brief you on this nonsense, or are they laughing about it in Austin, I hope?
The DPS has gotten very good about sending us updates, and they did send us an update about this, but it was a very mild sort of update. I really can't believe the governor did that. But it was interesting. I don't know if you guys saw, there's a state representative, and I know I'm going to forget his last name. Was it Todd Smith?
Oh, from Irving. I think
yeah.
It's from up here.
Did you catch his letter by any chance?
Yes, where he basically said, "Are you crazy?"
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know,
former state rep.
Recent Republican rep, right?
Yeah.
Wasn't that long ago that he served in the Texas House.
Well, he was Tea Partied out.
Yeah, it's people like that that I was so glad to hear his voice that they need to take their party back for the good of Texas. Mm-hmm. You know, we need those people to get a backbone, get a sense of pride about their party, and speak up for the party that they grew up in. If that wasn't my thing, but you know, they need to speak up for their Republican principles. Mm-hmm. And
we lost you too.
Yeah, we lost you again, Celia. I bet she pushed that button.
I bet I did. Am I back?
You're back.
You are back, yes. Welcome back.
It gets a little crazy, but I was very surprised to see Governor Abbott make that move, and I suspect he was surprised at the recoil that he caught when he did that.
And I love that Ted Cruz has joined in, too. I mean, I would love for it just to stick all over them for a very, very long time, at least into another election where they have to face voters in the face of being that idiotic. I mean, tunnels in the under Walmarts that have been closed because of plumbing issues.
I know.
It's just insane. All of it is.
It is.
Yeah.
We don't get them.
Somebody up here who works for FEMA, she keeps posting things like, well, I've been to Walmart and, you know, we've been taking care of the issues. Looks like we can house, you know, 30,000 people in this FEMA camp, you know.
Just feed the crazy. Feed the crazy.
You might as well, because you're not going to convince them. You know, it just seems like you're not going to convince them that this is just nuts.
But they're very loud and they're very active, and they're killing the Republican Party.
Mm-hmm. They are. They are indeed. And, you know, we've been recently upset with a former city council member here in Dallas, who is now in a colleague of yours in the House, Linda Koop, who signed that letter after 4105 died.
Explain what the letter was, because not
the letter was basically saying we as Texans and I guess the only Christians, support traditional marriage, and between a man and a woman the way it's always been. And that was 93 of 98 Republicans. And I was shocked because my rep is Jason Villalba, and he didn't sign it. And he didn't sign it because it was not reasonable to sign it. Other people who didn't sign it didn't do so because it wasn't extreme enough. But Linda Koop signed that letter, and we were shocked here because she has been such a supporter of us. And
she has a gay brother.
And has a gay brother. Uh-huh. And it's been just a really moderate... in fact, you couldn't. I don't think you could tell what her party was when she sat on a nonpartisan Dallas City Council, was on the DART board, and I mean, she's just been amazing. And then, so it's very disappointing to see somebody like that get sucked in.
Are you banned from her Facebook page now?
Probably.
Yeah, I am too.
She's a very nice woman, and
yes, she is.
There's several other examples of people of that. Description, mm-hmm. solid in the community, moderate in their views, mm-hmm. and whose arms were twisted to sign that letter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's sad because when she was elected here, people who are not Republicans were saying, "Oh, good, Linda Koop got that seat because she won that seat from crazy."
Yeah.
Yes, she did.
Yeah.
I'm not naming names.
I'm not either.
But she did, and everybody was delighted here that she won that seat.
Yep.
She was a good city council person when she was on the council here.
So we were gobsmacked.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'll tell you a story about one of my colleagues who did not sign that letter. Represents Williamson County, mm-hmm. Round Rock, and I thanked him. I said, Am I right that you didn't sign the letter? And he said, yeah, I did. I couldn't do it. I just couldn't do it. He mentioned that it's wrong for the party, and it was the wrong thing to do. He said he has never received so many thank yous from his district before. And I think that's good, that he's not torn up or beaten up over it. Rather, he's actually received a lot of kudos and thank yous from people in his district for doing something that you and I think is just a rational thing to do.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's great. That's really great.
But you know what? Once marriage passes, and after we get through the first week where, in five counties or so, it'll be a no-brainer to start doing marriages, and in another 200 and some odd counties, they won't be able to figure out what to do until they figure it out. I think most people are going to be, oh, is that all? They just get a marriage license and then they can file joint taxes?
Mm-hmm.
And they'll figure it out that it's nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a big thing. But it's a real big thing, yeah.
It is odd that has become our signature sort of battle in the year 2015,
mm-hmm.
when equity and non-discrimination is still unresolved.
Well, just two or three years ago, Nate Silver, the great predictor from 538, predicted that we would have marriage equality in Texas in 2018,
mm-hmm.
and we've been having debates here on the show. It's a running, standing argument about who will be number 50, and we believe Texas is trying to be number 50.
Mm-hmm.
Competing with some heavy hitters like Louisiana and Arkansas, Mississippi and Alabama. But we saw these bills come, and we thought, man, that's how they're going to do it. They're just going to drag it out in court.
Mm-hmm.
They're
going to
make it, put all these obstacles in the way, and then we have to go to court, and we'll win eventually.
So in that way, Cecil Bell's bill dying the way it did was a good thing because it makes that whole court argument moot, kind of.
It does.
Yeah, the legislature didn't vote for this, so.
So who do you think Celia is going to be number 50?
Oh my God! Well, let's hope it's Louisiana.
Mm-hmm.
Not us.
Yeah,
that's right.
You know why I don't want it to be us? Because if it's us, it means that we are having this protracted battle, and Texas is so big that, you know, in a smaller state, they can work it out easier. There just aren't as many counties, not as many jurisdictions, not as many people involved. I want to get into, we have about 10 minutes left. What's left in the legislature now? The budget battle is the last big thing. Is that what you're up to now?
Yeah, that's essentially it. It's being printed as we speak. And, you know, it was disappointing. We there's big ticket items in there that you put together a conference committee made up of House and Senate members, and they theoretically that, you know, they go in there and haggle through things. And they did a lot of work. I don't mean to diminish my colleagues' work at all. They did a lot of work for all of us.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look at the optics of the budget, there's a big difference between the Senate seemed to have gotten their way. One example is border security spending, which I hate to even say that phrase, border security spending. The Senate passed, made it clear they wanted to spend $800 million from general revenue on border security spending. And the House wanted to spend $500 million. So naive me, I think, okay, well, they're going to go into conference and they'll come back, you know, with a $600 or $650 million figure and we'll just have to accept it. No. The Senate got their $800 million in the budget. And we passed, Governor Abbott made pre-K an emergency item.
Mm-hmm.
But the pre-K that we're getting is a half-day pre-K, and schools that want to do it have to apply for the grant. And so I don't know the exact figure, but, you know, if we had taken just some of that border money, for example, and just scooted it on over and done a real robust full-day pre-K, you know, our kids in pre-K learn to love to read. They learn to love to go to school. How many studies do we have to see that show how important early childhood education
is? That's where all of their educational habits are formed.
That's where it all happens.
Yeah.
And for us to shortchange those families and then to thump our chest and say, hey, look, we got half-day pre-K. There's some school districts who have full-day pre-K, but they're funding it because they believe in it.
Mm.
But we'll see the politics afterwards when the governor is really, really proud of this half-day pre-K that it really is essentially a grant program and an underfunded pre-K program.
Hmm.
So for our listeners out there, that's the juxtaposition of what we're looking at. We're leaving $2 billion on the table based on the spending cap that we didn't even touch. There's $11 billion in our rainy day fund that we didn't touch. We did pass a bill, I think, that feeds off of the interest from that. But, you know, it's just this holy purse that we can't touch. And
I don't know about you, but up here, we sure have been having rainy days.
Thank you.
And I think it's time to spend a little bit of that money on something like education.
So that's the bulk that's coming up.
At least you kept abstinence-only education intact so that we don't have to teach kids honestly about sex. So that's a major accomplishment. Congratulations on that one. Yeah.
Well, you know, even the state of Oklahoma has a full-day pre-K. And they think that's really important, and they made it important in their budget. Mm. Even, you know, it's like, wait, why can't we be like Oklahoma? And I hate to say,
Patty.
I know,
like marriage equality state Oklahoma.
Marriage equality, saying, are they in on the Jade Helm? They don't have a governor that's signing this kind of stuff. You know, I'm jealous.
I know.
I want in.
I hate to admit it. I'm not going to admit it. They can't make me do it.
Right.
Yeah,
right. Okay, so the budget is coming up. Can any of these bad bills come back as amendments?
Not onto the budget.
Because none of them are budget items, right? In Texas, we have a law which is sensible, but I have to always remind yourself, Texas used to be a sensible place. But we have a sensible law where amendments have to relate to the actual bill.
To be germane.
Yes.
It has to be germane, right? So you can't just ignore the Constitution and put it on the budget.
Yeah, right. So the session is over June 1st, and there's, you know, I I think it's about, you know, at least a couple hundred Senate bills that still have to get through the House or be voted on in the House. So it's a floor game. It's an amendment game that you watch for on all of those bills. Mm-hmm. And it's a...
Oh, and these are regular Senate bills, not
exactly,
budget bills.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Any warning there yet?
I'm sorry?
Any warning of bad bills or controversial bills or bills that relate to any of this stuff? Like anything about Child Protective Services that a bad amendment could go to?
The most recent example was that sunset bill that that came through. So, you know, we do have to be watchful. And the key really is to be partisan about it is for the Democrats to be talking to one another. You know, one office hears of something and another office hears of something else. So we should be talking to each other to make sure we need to watch out or, you know, that Pink Dome becomes a big, huge gossip chamber. Mm-hmm. And you just need to be listening. Who's doing what and who's messing with who? And let's get out of here and do as little damage as possible. I am disappointed in the budget, and I am disappointed that Texas didn't step up to the plate in a year in which we had so much money.
Yeah, no kidding.
It's a lost opportunity.
So all this money that's going for border security, what is the money going to do?
It's to hire, I think it's 250 DPS troopers, mm-hmm. Because we've been doing the Texas Guard. And, you know, I'm from the border. I'm from El Paso, Texas. I'm a border girl, and I have a huge amount of respect for those border communities that when we talk about them as if they're war zones, which is a quote that was put out there on the floor of the Texas House.
Even though El Paso is the safest city of its size in the country.
Yeah.
As far as crime rate goes.
Mm-hmm. There's so much commerce that happens with Mexico. Mm-hmm. Our third largest port of entry is in Laredo. It's New York, Los Angeles, and then it's Laredo, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
So when we trash these communities from the state capitol, don't you think they feel like crap when all we do is talk negatively about their community? We're taking what should have been a humanitarian crisis last year, and we turned it into a so-called military crisis. And I'm embarrassed by how we responded and now in which we are building a military industrial complex along the border simply to say our president isn't doing anything, so we're going to have to do it. And disregarding the fact that the president, the federal government, not President Obama, has quadrupled our presence on the border since 9/11.
And has deported more people than any president before him.
Yeah.
You know?
We wouldn't want to give Obama credit for anything, although the immigrant community would not call that credit, but...
Right.
Yeah.
We don't...
But if your argument is secure the border, and then we can do a path to citizenship, mm-hmm. my God, you know, what else do we need to do? At what point do you say it's sealed? Do you want it? You want to vacuum seal it, or what? What do you want to do?
That could be a lot of GoPros for $800 million.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
We are completely out of time. Celia, I want to thank you so much for being here. One quick last question. We have two Texans who are running for president. Will you be supporting Rick Perry or Ted Cruz?
Well, I'll have to sit down.
You have to think about it, huh?
It's going to be an exciting year. We'll have an honorary Texan named Hillary Clinton who'll get some votes out for us, I hope.
Yay!
Celia, thanks so much for being with us.
Okay, guys.
Yes,
thanks for all you do.
Thanks for all you're doing. This is just amazing.
Yeah, and we'll be back next week with more Lambda Weekly. Our guest is Harriet Ehrhardt, former state rep. Interesting show.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll
thanks so much, Celia.
Yeah.
Okay, guys. Take care.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.